Hilchus Chovel Umazik, the laws of personally committed injuries and damages, chapter 7. This chapter contains 19 halachas. The subject matter here deals with damages which are done to an object and cause no physical change in the object, damages which are a result of someone's action rather than committed directly by the person who causes the damage, and how damages are to be evaluated, and how we determine what is to be paid. Halacha Aleph, Hamazik Momen Chaveri Hezek Sheini Niker. If one damages someone else's property in a form of damage which is not recognizable by looking at the damaged object, it caused no physical change in it. Hoyil Veloy Nishtana Hadover, since the damaged article has not been changed at all, Veloy Nivsedot Surasoi, its appearance has not deteriorated, Hareze Potter Minatashlumin, the one who caused the damage is not required to pay for this damage. Din Torah, so is the original law of the Torah. Avol midivrei soifrim amru, however, by rabbinical decree, they said that hoyil v'hivchiz demehem, since he caused a loss in their value, harei zechayiv, he has to pay, u'mishalim mashahivchiz midemehem, he's required to pay the amount that he reduced their value. Halocha beis ketzad, an example of such a case, harei shetimei ochlen tohirim shal chaveiroi, if someone who was tamei made food that was tohor, that belonged to someone else, he made it tamei, oisha dimeyaloi peiris, or he mixed truma into the other person's produce, oi erev loy tipas yayin nesach b'teich yeinai, or he mixed a drop of yayin nesach into someone else's kosher wine. In all of these cases, he reduced the value of it. In the case of the yayin nesach, he made it worthless altogether. Shahadei osar olav hakoil, in the case of the yayin nesach, the whole thing became forbidden. V'chein kol kayotzi bazo, or any similar case. In the case of the food that's tamei, its value was lessened because the custom was at one time that chover, one who was particular about tuma and tara, would eat only food that was tohor. Now he can eat it only when he himself is tamei, so it has less of a value to him. In the case of mixing truma with it, if he's a kohen, he can eat it only when he's tohor. And if he's not a Kohen, he must sell the mixture to a Kohen, and he takes a loss, because he can sell it only to Kehanim. So in all of these cases, Shomin Masa Hifsid, by rabbinical decree, we estimate how much the value of the property was reduced, to Meshalim Nezek Sholim, and the one who caused this damage has to pay the full cost of the damage. Minayofa Shebinechosa, from the best of his property, Kederech Kol HaMazikim, like any case of one who caused damage. Halocha Gimel, V'davazek Nashu Shekonsu Chachomim. This amount that he has to pay is not an actual monetary payment for a debt that he owes, because as we said, by Torah law, he did not have to pay this. This is a fine, a penalty that the sages placed upon him. Kedei Shelo Yiyah Kol Echad Min HaMashchisim Hoylichu Metami Taroisav Shel Chaveiroi, so that we will not have cases where people who like to cause damage will go around and impart tumah to food of other people that is tohor. Ve'oimer, and he'll say, Poter ani, I don't have to pay. Lefichach im meis zeshe hizik hazik sheinei nikar. Therefore, if this person who committed this unrecognizable damage died before he had a chance to pay, and goyvin hanazak minachosav, we do not collect the cost of the damage from his estate. Shalekonsu chachomim elazer shavav v'hizik, because this penalty was placed by the sages only on the person who actually committed the damage. Aval hayoyri shaloyosa klum, but if he died, then his heirs who didn't do anything, he aloykonsu, the heirs were not penalized. V'chein hamazik hezik she'enei nike bishgogoy be'oynis. Similarly, if the person who committed this unrecognizable damage did it unknowingly or by accident, potter. He does not have to pay, even though ordinarily one who causes damage has to pay, even if it was by accident. Here he doesn't pay. Because the penalty was placed here, since it's only a penalty, it was placed only on one who intentionally caused the damage. A Kohen who was performing the Avoda in a sacrifice, and he made it pigul willingly, that is, he knew that this sacrifice could be eaten only for a certain limited time, and he deliberately had in mind during the Avoda that it would be eaten after its time, and therefore he disqualified the sacrifice. Chayovim l'shalim, they must pay for this damage if they did it willingly, because this is similar to any other the case here of hezek she'enei nikar, of a damage which does not make a physical change. B'shoigeg, if however he did it by mistake, he was mistaken as to the nature of the sacrifice, or he was mistaken as to the law that applies here, p'turim, then they don't have to pay. V'chein, ho'isa melocha b'paras chata, similarly, one who did some work with a red cow that could have been used for preparing the ashes of the red cow, ubemei chatos, or if he did some work with the water, he used the water that contained these ashes, he used it for some other purpose. In either of these cases, he has disqualified the cow or the water. B'mezid, if he did it knowingly and willingly, chayav l'shalim, he has to pay. B'shoigig, if he did it unknowingly, potter, he does not have to pay. Halacha hei, hichnis para lemarbeik kedesha tinek v'tadush. If there was a corral where cows were put in, and the cows were being used to thresh grain that was on the floor of the place, and he put in a young cow into it for two purposes. His obvious purpose was because its mother was there, so that it should suck from its mother and be fed, but also while it was in there, his intention was that it should thresh. So in this case, he has disqualified, we're talking about a red cow, he has disqualified the cow since it was his intention that it should thresh. But he did not do any overt act that disqualified it. Ve'hisir daite mimechatos, or if he was carrying water that was to have the ashes of the red cow put into it, and he diverted his mind from it to something else, in such a case the water has become disqualified. In these cases, since it's purely by thought, potum, that he has disqualified it, potum midine adam, by law of the court, he cannot be made to pay. V'chayev b'dinei shamayim, nevertheless, he is guilty in the eyes of the heavenly court, and therefore he should make good the damage to atone for himself. In the case of pigul that we learned in the last halacha, it's not only his thought that makes it pigul, it's the fact that the thought came while he was doing the avoda. But in halacha hey here, the thought was the only thing that caused the disqualification. Halacha vav, hamenasech yayin chaveri l'avodah zarah, one who poured out someone else's wine for idol worship, loy nesar hayayin. We're talking about a Jew who did it. The wine has not become forbidden, and he doesn't have to pay. She'ein odam miYisrael oisedav she'ein ishaloy, because no Jew makes something that is not his forbidden. Even though he said it was for idol worship, the assumption here is that he did not actually intend idol worship. He only intended to cause trouble to his victim. Therefore, it does not become forbidden, and there's nothing to pay. If, however, he had some partnership in the wine, it was not, even though it was not fully his, but it was partly his, or shahoya mumer, or if he was an established idol worshipper, shaharehu kagoy, and that he is considered to be a goy, a non-Jew, even though he's Jewish, if he's an established idol worshipper, in these cases, Oisha Hisru boy, or there were witnesses who warned him that it was forbidden and it's a capital crime, Vekibel Hasra, and he accepted their warning and said, I am aware that it's forbidden, and nevertheless, I am going to do it. Shaharehu Mumer, this makes him an established idol worshipper. In all of these cases, the assumption is that he did actually intend idol worship, and he forbids the wine, and he has to pay, like any case of hezek sheini nika, of damage that makes no physical change. Now how can he be made to pay? Here in the case where they warned him and he accepted the warning on himself, or even if they didn't warn him, nevertheless it's a capital case, because his obligation to pay comes from the time he lifted it up for the purpose of pouring it. But he did not become guilty of a capital crime until he actually poured it. Anyone who damages his neighbor's property not by his direct action but by some action that ultimately causes the damage, chayiv l'shalim, nevertheless he has to pay nezek shalim, the full damage, minayovish ha-benachosav, from the best of his property, kishar ha-mezikim, like any other one who causes damage. Afal pi she'enei hu ha-mazik za nezek atzmi b'achrayne, even though he himself is not the one who did this final damage, hoyil v'hu ha-goyer marishin, since he is the original cause of it, chayev, he has to pay. Ketzad, an example of this law, hazeirik li sharoi meirosh ha-gag, al-gabi karim u-sukhsosis. If someone takes his own utensil and he throws it off the roof into the courtyard, and in the courtyard there are mattresses or blankets there that will cushion the blow so they will not break. Uva acher, and someone else comes along, v'kodam, and before they reach the ground, v'sile kesakorim, he removes the cushions, me'al horetz, he removes them from the ground, v'nechpat hakeli boretz v'nishbar, and then the utensil smashes against the solid ground and is broken, chayev nezek sholim, the one who removed it, even though he didn't do the damage, the owner who threw it off the roof did the damage, nevertheless, since he indirectly caused the damage by removing the cushions, chayev nezek sholem, he has to pay the full damage. Kilu shavri biyadei, just as if he had broken it by hand. Shasilu kakorim v'aksos is garim loy, because removing the cushions and blankets caused it, sheyishavri, that it should break. V'chein kol kayotzi bazor, any similar case like this. Haloch eches azoyrik, kli shal chaveri meirei shagag, someone who throws someone else's utensil from the rooftop. Al gabi karim uksosis, here he's throwing someone else's utensil, but it's not going to break because he's throwing it onto mattresses or cushions. Shabal hakli, the mattresses or cushions of the owner of the utensil. V'kodem bal hakli v'heiser akorim, and the owner of the utensils he went and removed it. Apparently he didn't know that the utensil was falling down there, and he removed the cushions or the mattresses. Hazoidei chayev, the one who threw it has to pay, because he indirectly caused the damage. If he says it, because he agoyed him, because his throwing it off the roof is the original cause, l'shvira sakeli, of the breaking of the utensil. V'imkodem achev zilkon, if, however, not the owner removed the cushions, but someone else came along and removed the cushions, shneim chayovim, both of them have to pay, since both of them are not the owner of the utensil, both of them have caused the damage, and they both have to pay. Hazoidik, the one who threw it, v'amisalik, and the one who removed the cushions, shneim garmu li'abed mamoynu shalzeh, because both of them are indirect causes of this person, of the owner's loss of his property. Halacha tes, v'chein asoyev shtei rosev shal chaveri chayev. So also, if someone takes legal documents that belong to someone else and that indicate that people owe him money, someone else takes these documents and burns them, chayev. V'shalim kol achayev, he has to pay the owner of the document the full debt that he could have collected with that document, and can Shahoya Bashtar, the full amount that was written in that document that he could have collected, which he can not now collect. Sha'afa pi she'en guf ashtar mo'min, because even though what he destroyed was the piece of paper, the document itself, and the document is not worth any money, nevertheless, by destroying the document, harei gorem la'abid ha'mo'min, he caused him to lose the money that was written in the document. U'bilvad she'yodeloi ha'mazik she'shtar mekuyim hoya. This, however, that he has to pay is only if the one who damaged the document admits that the document was a valid document that had already been examined, and the witnesses that were written, the signatures of the witnesses were found to be genuine. V'kach v'kach ha'yakosav boy, and if he admits the amount that had been written in the document, u'machmas shesarfei hu, ein yochel ligbei sachoiv, and only because he burned it up, the lender cannot collect his debts. If, however, the one who burned it up denies that the document had been a valid document, or denies that this amount had been written in the document, he cannot be forced to pay without proof, and he only has to pay the cost of the paper. Of course, we're talking here that there is no independent proof that the document had been validated and how much had been written in it. Because if there were such independent proof, the owner of the document could collect his debts using that proof. Halacha Yud, v'chein Reuven shahaya noisha b'shimin, u'mocha hashtar l'levi. So also a similar case. If there was a Reuven was a lender and he was attempting to collect a debt from Shimon, and he sold the document proving the debt to a third party, to Levi, to go and collect it. And after he sold the document to Levi, apparently at a discount, and now Levi will attempt to collect, having paid the Reuven whatever he paid him for the document, will now collect the debt from Shimon. After he made this sale, Reuven goes ahead and cancels the debt to Shimon, so that the document which he sold to Levi is now worthless. Halei nifta Shimon. Shimon, the original borrower, does not have to pay. He has been freed of his obligation by Reuven's canceling the debt. Kamoshi is bar b'mekoymoi, as we will learn in detail in the appropriate place in Hilchas Mechira and Hilchas Zechiyo Matona. V'nischayev Reuven l'shalim Levi kol masha b'shtar. However, Reuven has caused a loss to Levi by canceling the debt, so he will have to pay Levi everything that's written in the document. Shahadei gorem loy l'abit ashtar, because he caused him to lose the amount that's written in the document. V'hareyu k'moshe sarfei, and it's just the same as the previous case, as if he had burned it up. V'chein im mochlu yoyresh Reuven mishalim ha'meichel min hayofesh ha'binachosov. So also, if Reuven, the original lender, had died, and before this debt was collected by Levi, Reuven's heirs canceled the debt, so they have to pay from the best of their property. Halochi Yudalev, v'chein ha'oisa avdei apeitaki, someone who lent money, making his slave a mortgage on the loan, that is, the stipulation was that he was not personally obligated for this loan, but this loan was to be collected only from this slave, by taking this slave. The slave was a mortgage for the loan, and after he did so, he set the slave free. Now, the borrower has no place to collect, the lender has no place to collect the debt from. Chayev ha-meshachil shalim lebal ha-choyv. In such a case, since the one who set the slave free has caused the creditor to lose the money, he has to pay the creditor. Sharei hefkia shibudoi, because he has destroyed, he has nullified his mortgage on the slave. V'gorem la'abid memoine, and he's caused him a loss of money. V'choyfin as bal choyv gamhu l'shacher ho'eved. And the creditor here, the lender, even though the slave had never come into his possession, and he was the owner of the slave, nevertheless, since the slave has been set free here, but he, the lender here, feels that he has some jurisdiction over this slave. Therefore, Koifin is Bal Choyv Gam Hu L'Shacher Ho'Eved. Therefore, Bezdin will require the creditor here also to give a document to the slave setting him free, so that later on he won't meet him in the street and mock at him by saying, "You're my slave." Madbeya chaveri v'nizgalgil v'yored layom. So also someone who pushes, who gives a push to someone else's coin, and the coin went rolling and it fell into the sea. Chayiv l'shalim. The one who did so has to pay. V'chein hatzoyde moizen hapora chayiv l'shalim. So also hatzoyde oizen hapora chayiv l'shalim. So also one who made a notch. In the ear of a cow, apparently this is a red cow, which is very valuable, and he made a notch in its ear, thereby disqualifying it, even though the actual physical damage is very small. Nevertheless, since he disqualified it for something which it would have been very valuable for, he has caused a great damage and he has to pay. Because he indirectly caused a great loss in its value. So also someone who files off someone else's coins and removes the imprint on the coins, now the coins are worth considerably less than they were before. He has caused him a damage and he has to pay. So any similar case. If someone threw a utensil from the roof down to the ground, v'loi hoya tacht of kelim, and there were no other utensils underneath, v'kodam acher v'shavri b'makil, there was nothing there to cushion it, that is, and it would have broken in any case, but before it reached the ground, someone else got there first and hit it with a stick and broke it, kishu ba'avir, while it was still in the air, kodim shiyagi al-aretz, before it reached the ground, harizah acher poter, this second person does not pay anything, shalei shavar el-eklisha shayfer li-shavir miyad bevadai, because he didn't break anything. The utensil that he broke was one that is about to be broken for certain. It is definitely about to be broken immediately. It's as if he had broken a utensil that's already broken. And this is not like causing the damage, because it's considered damaged already. And so in any case similar to this, he will not pay. Halacha Yud Gimel Shoy Shoy Oimid Lahariga Mipneshu Mazikas Habriyas, an ox that was about to be killed because it was injuring people. Ve'ilan Ha'imid L'Ktzitza Mipneshu Mazikas Harabim, or a tree that was about to be cut down by order of the court because it was a public nuisance, the roots, let's say, were in the way or whatever. V'kodam Echad V'shochat Shoyzeh, and before the ox could be killed, someone went ahead and slaughtered it. The kotzatz ilan zeh, or before the tree could be cut down, someone else came along, a private individual, and he cut down the tree, shalei midas habaylim, without permission of the owner, chayiv l'shalem labaylim k'moy sheyiru l'dayanim. He has to pay the owners the amount that the judges see fit for him to pay. Sharei hifkion mailasis mitzvah. Even though he didn't cause them the full monetary loss here, and he doesn't pay the monetary loss, because the ox would have been killed anyway, the tree would have been cut down anyway, but he prevented them from doing a mitzvah, and that's worth money. V'imton v'omar ato amartali lahargi l'katzitza. If, however, he claims, you told me to kill it, or you told me to chop down the tree, hoyel v'hu aymid l'kach, since it's about to be killed or chopped down anyway, harei ze poter. He does not have to pay, and his claim is believed. Halacha yudalet, v'chein mishashochet chayev oif. So also, if one person slaughtered a chaya or a bird which requires covering up of the blood with earth, and the mitzvah belongs to the sheichet properly, and someone else came along, and before the sheichet could do it, someone else went and did this mitzvah. He covered the blood without permission of the sheichet. He has to pay for depriving him of the mitzvah. He has to pay the amount that the judges will see fit. And some say that it's not up to the judges. Some have judged this case that there's a set fine for it. V'hu asar zehuvim, 10 gold pieces. V'chein hoiru, and these people also gave a judgment. Shekol ha'meinei ha'baylim milasis mitzvus asei, sheheim re'uyim lasoisam, that in any case where someone prevents a person from doing a mitzvah, sasei, a positive commandment, that he is properly supposed to do, because the machiv asa, someone else came first and did it in his place, mishalim laboilim hazar zuhuv. In every case, has to pay the one who should have done the mitzvah, has to be paid 10 gold pieces. Halacha tezvav, shamin lamazik biyadei kederach sheshamin loyim hizik mamoinoi. A person who caused damage directly by hand, we make an allowance for the value, for the recovery value of the broken object, just as we do in the case where his where he didn't break it by hand, but his damage, his property caused the damage. Keitzat, for example, harei shehorek bemas chaveiroi oishova keilov. If someone killed someone else's animal, or he broke his utensil, shaman kama hoisa behema shava, we estimate how much was the animal worth before, the kama hanavela shava, and how much is the carcass worth now, the kama hoya kli shava, how much was the utensil worth when it was whole, the kama shavata, and how much is it worth now that it's broken, umashalim hapchas, and he pays the difference. La nizok, he pays the difference to the one who is the owner of the damaged property, im hanavei lo yakli ashaver, and he will take the cost that's paid to him of the difference, and he will also take the carcass or the broken keli. Keder shebeyarnu, as we have already stated in detail in Hilchas Nizkei Mamon there in chapter 7. In the case where one's ox caused damage, because it's the same law whether his ox caused the damage or whether he himself caused the damage. If one trampled on someone else's grapes, we make an allowance here also in the damage. How much were they worth before he spoiled them, and how much are they worth after he spoiled them, and he pays only the difference, and the owner keeps his spoiled grapes. And so any similar case, we do not say that the one who damaged them has to pay the full damage and he should take the spoiled property. When we collect the difference in value is collected from the one who caused the damage. At first, we collect it from his movable property. And if he has no movable property to cover the damage, then we collect from his real estate property, from the best. And so also in cases of rape and seduction, or a husband who falsely accused his wife, in all of these cases, when they pay, as we learned in Hilchas Nara Besula, we collect.
Halacha Yud Zayin, kol hamazik momin chaveiroi ve'eino yedeya mahizik. Anyone who damages his fellow man's property, and the one who committed the damage is unaware as to the nature of the property that he caused the damage to. We'll give an example of that in the next halacha. In this case, we say that by rabbinical decree, we permit the owner of the damaged property to swear as to what exactly was the property that was damaged, and he can collect what he is claiming. Just as we learned in Hilchas Gzeila Va'aveda in chapter 4, that a robbery victim is permitted to swear as to what was robbed from him, and the robber will have to pay what he is claiming. And in this case, since this is a special decree that's made for the victim, ordinarily the accused, either, if he denies it, either he is believed and he does not pay, or in most cases he has to swear, either by Torah law or rabbinical decree, he has to swear as he is claiming, he has to swear to his denial of the claim, and he is free from paying. Here, since they made a special decree that in such case, in this particular case, in the case of armed robbery, or in the case of one who commits damage and doesn't know what he damaged, the victim is permitted to swear as to what his loss was, and he can collect. Therefore, they said that he can only do so if he is claiming things that he is reasonably expected to own such property. Just as we learned in the case of robbery, that he can only swear and collect if he is claiming things that we can reasonably expect that he could have owned. Halacha Yudches, Ketzad, what is an example of such a case? Lokach Kischa Beidoi, if someone took someone else's purse, the Hishlichei Layam, and he threw it into the sea, Oilo Eish, or into a fire, Oisha Mosri Biyad Anos, or he gave it over into the possession of a gangster who took it away, the Ovad, in any of these cases, the purse is now lost, and we do not know what was contained in the purse. Bal Hakis Oimer, the owner of the purse, is claiming, Zehuvim Hayamole, it was full of gold coins. Bahamazik Oimer, but the one who committed the damage here, he claims, Eini Yodea Mehoya Boy, I don't know what was in there. Maybe there were no gold coins. Shema Ofer Oitevin Hayamole, maybe it was full of earth or straw. In such a case, Harei Hanizok, Nishba Benekitas Chayfetz, in this case, the accused cannot swear to his denial because he is unaware of what was in there. He can't swear that there were no gold coins in there. So the Nizok, the one who owned the lost property, he swears Benekitas Chayfetz while holding Sefer Torah or Tefillin. The details of this will be learned in Hilchas Toyin Benitan, that wherever they decreed that the one who is claiming the money can swear and then collect what he claims, he has to swear by holding a Sefer Torah or Tefillin, even though this oath is by rabbinical decree. Benoitel, and he can collect what he's claiming. V'hu sheyitin divarim shehu amid bahem. But this will only apply if he is claiming things that we can expect reasonably that he could have owned such property. Oy amud lahavkidam etzloy. Or we can reasonably expect that someone might have deposited such things with him. V'darkam lahanicham bekis, and only if he's claiming things that are usually kept in a purse. V'chayotzi boy, or similar cases. Avol im ein darkam lahanicham beklize, if however he is claiming property which is not usually kept in such a container as the one who committed the damage took and threw into the water, hu pasha beyatzmoy, then the victim here has been negligent and he cannot collect. Ketzad, for example, harei shechotav chemes, if the one who caused the damage here did so by grabbing a leather flask, which usually contains water, oisal meleim umechupim, or a basket that was full of something and covered up, the hishlicham layam, and he threw them, the flask or the basket, into the sea, or sarfam, or he burned them, the toan hanizak, and the owner of the lost property claims shemargolius hayu b'toicham, that the leather flask or the basket were full of jewels. Einei neman, we do not believe him. The ein mashbiyim oisei al kach, we do not permit him to swear to such a thing. Sheein derech b'nei odom lahaniach margolius b'salim uvechemsis, because it is not the custom of people reasonably to leave jewelry in such containers, in leather flasks or in baskets. V'im tofas, if however, since we are in doubt here, maybe he in fact did do so, therefore if the victim grabbed some property from the perpetrator and now he is holding it, ein mitzia miyodei, we do not take it back from him. Elo nishba, in such a case he does swear shemargolius oyuba, that in the container that was taken from him there were jewels contained in it, v'noital, and then he can collect mimashayei sheitzloi, out of what he has taken to himself from the one who committed the damage. V'chein kol kayotze bazeh, so also any similar case. Halacha yud tes, if the one who committed the damage here does not dispute that there were golden coins in there, yoda hamazik shakis hoya by zehuvim, he says, yes, I know that the purse was full of gold coins, aval eina yedeya kamahu hoyu, but he says that he does not know how many gold coins there were in there, v'oimer hanizak elef hoyu, and the victim says there were 1,000, noitel elef beloy shvua. In such a case, the victim can collect his 1,000 that he is claiming, and he does not have to swear. Because the one who committed the damage here would be unable to swear. And the rule is, as we will learn in Hilchas Payin Benitan, that wherever someone who is accused and has to swear is unable to swear, the one who is accusing him can collect what he claims without swearing. In this case, if the one who committed the damage had said, yes, there were gold coins, but there were not 1,000, there were 500, this would be the ordinary case of one who partially affirms and partially denies a claim. And in such a case, the Torah requires him to swear concerning what he is denying. However, here he cannot swear because, in fact, he does not know what was in there. And so this is a case where the perpetrator cannot swear, therefore the victim can collect without swearing. And a similar law will be learned concerning a denial of property that was deposited with someone for safekeeping. This will be learned in Hilchos Sheilah Upikadin.